Well, so Justin was up tonight and he's on a business trip. So then I think he may have asked Phil. Phil said he wasn't going to be here. He's right there. So he asked me if I would, and to be honest, one of my biggest prayers is to let me serve you. So I said, yep, let's do it. I did not know our pastor was going to be here, because that's not intimidating at all. good thing I've done Sunday school with him watching me. But anyway, because Bob Wible gave me a big theological question this morning, it's important that we discuss it. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? No? Gosh. Me and Bob think it is, so rest of you are just wrong if you don't believe that. Trying to stick the best I can with the road that we're on as far as what we're teaching from where. We're going to be primarily in Ephesians. Ephesians? There you go. Did I say that right? I say Ephesians. They tell me I'm wrong. Luke, is Ephesians okay?
Oh, yeah. Love.
Thanks. So we're going to hit on some things in Ephesians, and I'll be bouncing around so you guys can try to stay with me. Where's my tree? I do. I need my tree. I got props. Phil's our minister of props, in case y'all don't know. I just realized I almost started humming that I'm mic'd up, so unless y'all want to hear me sing. You probably don't want to hear me sing. I have no idea how big this prop is. Oh, that's a big tree. Okay, well. We'll set it right there for now. All right. We'll get to that in a minute. I was really in my mind picturing this little thing. Even when he sent a picture of it, I didn't realize how big it was. But, okay. We'll go with that. That's what he brought. All right. So, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 8 is what I'm going to start with. And I'll warn you ahead of time, depending upon which version, King James, ESV, NIV, whichever one I liked at the time. Sorry, Bob. That's the one that it'll be read from. All right. So we're going to start with Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 8. But first of all, if Ephesians was written by Paul, right? Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter. And the difference in this letter and a lot of letters is that a lot of Paul's letters are corrective letters. He's getting on to them. You've probably seen those memes where it's like, you know, if Paul was here today, Paul would be writing you a letter. Well, Ephesians was more of an encouraging, optimistic letter as opposed to some of the others. So as I read this, keep that in mind, but I think at least made sense to me. As I was reading it, I think he was correcting them on something, and I'll get to that. And in case I don't, and I leave an open-ended, like, you know, like, well, what was the other way? Remind me, and I'll tell you, all right? Because as I was going over this, I was about halfway through it when I realized it was 5:30. I was like, oh, well, I got to get to church. So when we get about halfway through, I may just totally lose my train of thought. But we'll go with it. So verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. I didn't warn y'all ahead of time. My first time I did this, they give me like almost like a full hour, or a little bit over a full hour. And I don't know when I put these notes together if it'll be 15 minutes, half hour, hour. Last time it was a half hour, so you may get out early, you may get out late. It just depends on where we go. But a few things I highlight in there, and I wanted to point out, this is his opening. Talking about the being of Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us, blessing in Christ. These are words I highlight. Chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Paul wasn't just sitting in the corner moping around about it. I mean, he was pretty pumped up to give this encouragement. Before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption into sonship through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Again, he has plans for us. When he spun the universe into existence, he had plans for you. He has chosen us, and here we are today. So if you jump to verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined, he's kind of repeating himself, according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth and the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions, to the praise of his glory. Now, that verse kind of, they all spoke to me, because this guy's like really pumping them up. We are marked with a seal, the Holy Spirit. And recently, after reading that, it really hit me. If y'all have been to our Sunday school class, I always use this family member of mine as an example if I'm leading or whatever. It's an atheist family member of ours that we pray for often, and I do ask y'all to pray for him. His name's Alex. Maybe it'll be broadcast and he'll listen to it. But anyway, sometimes it's friendly debate, sometimes it's not so friendly, sometimes I think he's spiritually attacking me, but we were discussing some things, and I asked him if he had read a book that I had sent him a year ago, Case for Creation by Lee Strobel. I used something out of one of his other books the last time that I led this, but first and foremost, he thinks he's very intelligent, very smart, so he's all about science. And Lee Strobel uses in Case for Creation a lot of scientific evidence that points towards creation. Well, I asked him if he had read any of that, and again, forgive me, mouth super dry. If you've never spoken in front of people, even if it's a small group, it's quite intimidating. Because what sounds good to you, when you get up here and people are looking at you, it's like, anyway. He said no, he hadn't, but I reminded him that I have read some of the trash book that he gave me. I won't even tell the name of the book, but I thought, you know, whatever. I've done some theology classes. I don't care to read someone else's argument. You should always be prepared to have an argument for what you have. That's out of anyone? Always be prepared with grace and... Come on, Stephen, I'm looking at you. Nah, I think it's John. one of the Johns, which is a joke if anyone says, hey, I can name four Bible verses faster than you. And they say, go, John. Anyway, get it? Okay. You will sooner or later. You guys are slow. Come on. Anyway, I reminded him that I had read some of his, and he said, well, I'm not reading a book just so you can prove your point. And he said, besides, you read what I gave you, but you claim to be sealed. And I think, although he might have been using that as some kind of argument, he understood the truth behind that. He grew up in a Christian home. He knew that I can read whatever he wants me to read, but I am sealed. So his propaganda is not going to change my mind. And actually, in reading it, it like just gives me more argument to fight back with. So know that if you're here and you're a Christian, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times I've said it, and I'll probably say it more than once today, but as I go through this stuff, I feel like the Lord tells me, I'll read something, he's like, act like it. So act like you're sealed, because you are. If you're a born-again Christian, you're sealed. Ephesians 2, 7 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. Some versions I do like call that workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 3, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So that I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. Which is your glory. And to supplement that, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, highlighted part, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, think on that for a moment. Both verses there from Ephesians and Hebrews talks about being bold with confidence, access to God with boldness and confidence. And I know Luke has touched on this many of times. I've heard him over the years talking about running into the throne room of God. Like I mentioned how nerve-wracking it can be if you've never spoken in front of a group of people. And this was just when I was going over this before I left. If I can run into the throne room of God with boldness, I can talk to you all with boldness. Simple as that. Number one, I'm sealed. So that should encourage you also. Whether it's at work or wherever, you can run to God. You can be bold wherever you are. And I encourage you to believe that and understand that. Live by that. I want to back up to Ephesians 2:10. Just to touch on handiwork, not 2:10, but yep, 2:10. Handiwork, workmanship. It means three realities. First, you are his masterpiece. You're not a mass-produced item. You are his masterpiece. God created you. Example of a broken masterpiece, David. He was a shepherd, an adulterer, a poet, a warrior, a king, flawed. Yet God called him a man after his own heart. So no matter where you've been, understand that. I don't care how bad your past has been. Your past is gone. If you're a Christian, those sins are blotted out. Second point on that, you're recreated in Christ, not just improved upon. Your identity is no longer rooted in your past failures, your cultural labels, self-image, but in Christ's finished work alone. The old you's dead to sin. I know you've heard this stuff, but you are new. You, You're alive in Christ, sculpted and new for a purpose, which sculpted takes me back. Might be Jeremiah, but you can Google it and look it up. But we are, he is the potter, we are the clay, and he is working us. Right now, we might not look like a masterpiece in our own eyes, but in God's eyes, he loves you so much, he sees you as a masterpiece. And the third point about that, you are designed for preordained mission. That's powerful stuff. In life, we have these problems or what have you, and to think in the middle of that problem, as God spun the universe into existence, he had his plans for you. He knew you by name. He has a new name for you in heaven, but I might get to that. It's in Revelations. But he knows you by name, and he has work for you to do. Those works don't save you, but he has those plans for you. So in summary of that masterpiece thought, to be God's workmanship is to be one of a kind new creation, lovingly re-sculptured in Christ, to walk in a lifetime of divinely tailored good works that display his glory and advance his kingdom. You are not just a rough draft. You're God's signed original masterpiece. Think of a painting. If you mess it up when it says you're a whole new creation, you're going to throw it out if it's messed up and start over, and God signed it. You're his. Ephesians 3:14-21. I better slow down. I'll talk slower. No. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Here's where I said I think Paul may have been correcting him a little bit. And I could be wrong. According to Google and AIs out there, they don't think like I'm thinking here, but that's fine. The theologians from past. But I think that there was a point that Paul was getting across here. Because he says, I pray that out of our glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit, you know what I mean, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp, here's the point, to grasp how wide, how long, how deep is the love of Christ. He's wanting them to understand that Christianity is more than an academic exercise. It is an academic exercise as we are discipled and we learn and we read the Bible. The Lord speaks to us as we read it to explain it, to understand it. But there is a power in you that we overlook a lot of times. I couldn't stand up here and talk to you all if it weren't for the Lord letting me. There's no way. And that's, there's nothing academic about the ability to just stand up here and talk. That is strictly God's allowing me to do it. So, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That's back to Ephesians 4:1. How do we live in a calling worthy of the calling you have received? Well, it's living in God's strength, not ours. But I have to ask myself, and a lot of this stuff, it's not directed towards you all. Most of the stuff that I'm going over here and teaching, whatever you want to call it, is stuff that I think about, especially when you're preparing something like this. The highest form of learning is teaching. It's true. Give it a shot. I mean, you learn all kinds of stuff when you have to present it to someone. But are you walking worthy? These ain't questions I'm wanting you to answer, but it's questions that I think we should be asking ourselves. If we're His workmanship, are we walking worthy? Are you grieving the Spirit? Are you showing up to church on a Sunday, checking a box? God has ordained plans for you to use you for His glory to fulfill the Great Commission. Do you behave different at work than non-Christians? Are you bearing the cross daily? The Lord will accomplish what He wants to with or without you. But He has work for you to do. He has work for me to do. And I just want to challenge you and encourage you. Just grasp the sacrifice that He has made for us. By His stripes we are healed. The church has needs. If you're here on a Wednesday night, then I can say this stuff a little bit more bold than what I would on a Sunday morning. They wouldn't let me up here on a Sunday morning. But anyway, the church has needs. Do you help out in work parties? We all know that we have the whole body of Christ. You know, there's feet, toes, ears, eyes, arms, legs, head. We need your talents. We need your talents. I can tell you, anyone that's showed up at a work party and I show up, I might have a fancy pry bar or something, you know, and Phil might think I can do something since I have it, and then he realizes real quick, I have no idea what I'm doing with it. But, they taught me real quick. I was up there putting some of those boards on, and Wayne was looking at me sideways because those weren't perfectly straight, but we got through it. We need everyone here to chip in. So we as God prepares you in life for these works that do not save you, but these works that He has prepared for you, that you can go through a refining process. You may go through multiple refining processes because something you need to learn in that refining process is something that He's already planned for you to use down the road for you. We can come up with 100 excuses not to do X, Y, Z. And as I was thinking about that, again, 5:30 before here, the evil one starts, you don't want to do that. Within 1 minute, I wrote down 10 reasons that are legitimate reasons why I don't need to be here up front tonight. And every one of these reasons, you all would be like, oh, okay, it makes sense. So what? If God gives you a mission, you do it. I have been praying to serve the Lord. So yes, I woke up with a cold. Who cares? I'm here. So I'm sorry if I'm being too rough, but you know what? They let me up here once. They let me up here again. Maybe they won't let me the next time. I don't know. But when we think about the power of the Lord that lives in us, that allows us to get through these refining processes, that lets us grow, I don't know what, well, I did. The Lord pointed out, we'll call it that. Somehow I come across this fun fact, and it's pretty astounding. And when you think about the speed of light, this will show you how big the universe is, or at least give you an idea. The speed of light is 186,282 miles per second in a vacuum. That's 7.5 laps around the earth in 1 second. Okay? 7.5 times. At the speed of light, it would take approximately, depending on, because when I tried to verify this information, you get about 20 different numbers, but it's a big number. But at the speed of light, it would take 2,000 years just to reach the outer limits of our galaxy. That's just our galaxy. If you've ever done any study into the galaxies, the universe, there's millions of galaxies out there. It would take billions of years to reach the outer limits of the observable universe at the speed of light. Billions of years. God spoke that into existence. I said the last time, quit putting him in a box. We don't need to put him in a box. I mean, that the same God that spun that into existence had plans for you when he did it. And that's just, to me, like, wow. Okay. You want me to get up here and talk? Hopefully they come back. If they don't, come back anyway. It'll be a different speaker next time. So, you know, it's funny when you're up here, squirrel moment. I was telling, might have been Justin, I don't know. But I was telling him, it's like you look at people's faces, and I tell you what, some people, I can't tell if they are like making faces mean at me, if they're. So since I came up here and spoke, it made me think when I'm sitting back there and whoever's up here speaking, I try to smile at them because it's like, I just want to know I'm not, you know, ready to throw anything at them. My own wife, I mean, the way she's looking at me through most of this, I can't tell if she's happy, sad, want me to wrap things up or what. It's not time to wrap it up. To meet my goal, I still have another 12 minutes. So how do we accomplish these works? Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And this is through ESV. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength in his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Luke 11, 21 through 22. As a little backup to that, you don't have to turn there. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. So there's number two of how we can accomplish these works. Number one was walking boldly into the throne room of God. Number two is putting on that full armor of God every day. Some of you may have seen those little tokens that have the full armor of God on. You passed them out one time with our men's group. I lost mine. But anyway, I need a new one. If you make a conscious effort to do that, some like reading your Bible, reading the Word of God, so that you know how, you know, God can speak to you much more clearer and quickly because you already know His Word in those situations that you doubt yourself. Finally, well, my notes don't say closing yet, so it's not finally. But number three that I really, you know, in this wanted to point out, I try to avoid personal testimony when I'm up here teaching, but this is what I've been meditating, praying on, is the whole concept of abiding in Him. So we're going to go to John 15, 1 through 8. And this is NIV. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, I've wanted a small tree. This is real, and I just wanted y'all to be able to see. I'll cut my hand off here. So, and I know you know what a branch looks like when it's chopped off. And sometimes you have to hack it off. There. But if this is going to fall to the ground, wither and die, right? Don't be the branch that is not attached to the vine. We have to abide in Christ Jesus every day. And he's going to aggravate you if you don't make a conscious effort. But if you make a conscious effort, when you start your morning, you're going to be in a much better place by the end of that day. You're going to be able to accomplish those works that he had planned as he spun the whole universe into existence. Make that conscious effort. Or he may, and I don't say this to scare you, you may go through a refining period. And then you'll learn, hey, I need to abide in Christ so that he abides in me. I've got to stretch this out for 6 more minutes. Now, I'm not one that'll get up here and talk, and there's nothing wrong with that, but because some people have a lot that is fantastic. But I want to close because this is another verse that is near and dear to me, but I think that in what we've been talking about and being God's workmanship and how we do that, run to the throne room, full armor of God, abide in Jesus, Isaiah 43:1. But now, this is New King James Version, but now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel. I want you to stop for a moment and know that as we have been adopted as sons and daughters, as Christians into his family, so thus says the Lord, who created you, fill in the blank with your name, and who formed you, fill in the blank with your name. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. I read that probably daily. I may not read it, but in my mind, I go over that. The whole, I've been redeemed. I have been called by name. And that last part, I am his. And he's saying, you are mine. That gives me chills. But anyway, in summary, make sure I didn't get too mean in my notes. If you are a Christian, then God has work for you to do. He will give you the ability to do the work. You may pass through some fire. Pause for dramatic effect. It may be as real as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. but God. You won't be alone. There's a, if you've not seen House of David, and if you've not seen it and you think you want to see it, you can leave because I'm about ready to throw a spoiler out there, but it's not going to ruin the show for you. But it's so important for you to understand this whole workmanship, the refining process that you may go through, the power that lives and dwells in you. In the last scene of season one, Shepherd David, scrawny, little kind of guy, it's such a powerful moment. And they add to, I mean, it's not meant to be biblically accurate per se, but it does stick to the Bible, kind of. And I say that because I looked up just to find out if David was scared, and it doesn't indicate that David was scared because he had full confidence in God. But this scene is probably more like me and you. He's talking to, it's Michal. I tried to look up the right pronunciation. It's King Saul's daughter. And she's like talking to him before he goes to face Goliath, which is this giant of a giant. And she said, are you scared? And he said, I'm terrified. And the next scene, you know, he's not just timidly walking out there. And the way this movie projects it, he goes full throttle. He's just running, slinging that sling around, just charging. And that's how we got to face life. You got to face your Goliath straight on. Run right at him. And so if you get nothing out of this, remember, you can run to the throne room, put on the full armor of God, and abide in Christ. And because I will never stand up here and not, I mean, I sat here for half hour, a little over half hour, and talk about Christian walk and how we are to be God's workmanship. But if you've been coming to church for years, but in your heart, you know that you're not living right. You're not doing these works that the Lord has established for you to do before he spun the world into existence. Or you've never made the decision to be a Christian, to put your trust in Christ, to repent of your sins, to let the Lord Jesus Christ be your Lord and Savior. If you've not made that decision, I'd do it. I mean, what are you waiting for? John 3:16, everyone knows it. And I won't belabor it here. If you don't know it, he's saying that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't know him, talk to somebody here, talk to me, talk to an elder, talk to a deacon, talk to your friend that brought you. But with that, I'm going to ask if there's any prayer requests that before we close, any testimony of praise, anything. Now you're all quiet. I'll call you out by name if you don't. Okay. fantastic. And none of us are worthy except through Christ. Anyone else? Anyone want to lead us or close us in prayer? Close us in prayer.